It's summer, 1999. Shaq is exhausted and anxious after another tough loss in the playoffs. He and Kobe Bryant have been together on the Lakers for 3 seasons and still no championships. He worries his Lakers crew is always going to fold, that they'll never figure out how to win a title. But Shaq doesn't spend all his time worrying. Ever since he got to the NBA, he's taken time out for fun stuff. Appearing in movies, recording a couple of rap albums. One went platinum, another went gold. He stages live concerts, like the one he's got going tonight in Kalispell, Montana.
Check it, you know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me. You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me.
After the gig, Shaq says to his bodyguard, guess who's got a log cabin just up the way? The answer is the renowned NBA coach, Phil Jackson, who has just signed on to be the head coach of the Lakers. Jackson led Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls to championship after championship. Now, at age 53, he's coming out of retirement to try and do the same for the Lakers. Shaq decides to pay Jackson an unannounced visit. He gets to the house, peers through the windows, and sees the 6 gleaming NBA championship trophies Jackson won with the Bulls. He thinks, yeah, Phil Jackson is definitely my man. Jackson's wife opens the door. Phil's out riding a bike. He should be back any minute. So Shaq waits. He meets Jackson's daughter and son. He discovers they have a trampoline. He gleefully jumps on, his long arms pinwheeling, all 340 pounds of him bouncing higher and higher until he realizes Jackson's family thinks he'll destroy the thing. So he stops and goes for a swim in the lake at the end of their yard. He does flips off the dock. Everyone's laughing. He tends to land on his back. Then Jackson shows up. He doesn't say hello. Instead, he points to a dead tree that's floated up onto his property.
See this tree?
Shaq nods.
Move it.
As Shaq does as he's told, he thinks, this man is challenging me. He means business. In that first meeting, Jackson gets right to the point. Years later, Shaq tells interviewer Graham Benzinger exactly what he told him. Jackson said,
listen, you're doing good, but no more rapping. No more videos, no more movie, I need you to concentrate. I'm like, why? I make a lot of money doing it. Why would I stop doing that? So, because if you listen to me, you can get MVP this year and we can win a championship.
By the time Shaq leaves, he's convinced if anyone can guide the Lakers to a championship, that person is Phil Jackson.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
From Wondery, I'm Rico Galliano, and this is One Plus One. For their first 3 seasons, Shaq and Kobe were unable to put aside their separate agendas to win. The Lakers decided that if there was one person who could bring these two superstars together, it was a legendary coach who had helped turn the great Michael Jordan from a star player with no rings to a 6-time NBA champion. This is episode 3 of our 6-part series on Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. Who's the boss? Shaq had his heart-to-heart with Phil Jackson in the Montana woods. Kobe wants to meet Phil Jackson before the season starts too, and it's in a very different setting. One morning at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, before a press conference announcing Phil Jackson's hiring, Kobe arranges to meet the coach in his hotel suite. To avoid the press, Kobe takes the freight elevator. He is thrilled to be in Jackson's presence. It's another of his dreams to be coached by the man who coached Michael Jordan. Jordan is the living legend whose record-breaking stats he wants to top. Jackson's deep voice and calm manner are fatherly, reassuring. He has a twinkle in his eyes. In that meeting, Jackson is everything Kobe hoped he would be. And Kobe leaves knowing there is no better man for the job. That day, Phil Jackson officially becomes the Lakers' designated savior, contracted for 5 years to perform the miracle of uniting Kobe and Shaq. By now, it's no secret to the reporters who follow the team that the Shaq-Kobe feud is, to put it politely, a situation. And that day, Jackson tells the press, "That's why I'm here, to deal with this situation." The first day of training camp, Phil Jackson tells Shaq to work harder. He tells Kobe he needs to mature. Other guys need to get in shape, practice more, get back to their top level. There's just one problem. The players are gazing at the ceiling, at the floor, fiddling with their fingers. Jackson is the most intellectual coach in the NBA. But it's dawning on him, he'll have to treat his troop of underachievers like children. "Stop what you're doing," he tells them. "Check your breath. Focus on what I'm saying." Phil Jackson has definite ideas about how a basketball team should play. The system he uses is known as the triangle offense. The triangle is all about passing the ball to a designated apex player who then sends it to an open player. It was developed by Jackson's longtime assistant coach, Tex Winter, who's now nearly 80 years old, but just as wedded to the triangle as when he instituted it at Kansas State in the early 1960s. Michael Jordan was super talented, but also a ball hog, before coach Phil Jackson introduced the triangle offense in Chicago. So Kobe is intrigued by it. The year before, when Jackson and Tex Winter were still coaching the Bulls, Kobe called Winter to talk about the triangle. He's impressed because Winter's teams, including the Bulls, look so composed, so tactically sound. Kobe asks him, "What's this triangle about? Why do you believe in it? How does it work?" He likes Winter's answers. When Jackson introduces the Lakers to the triangle, it's clear to Jackson that Kobe wants to be Michael Jordan, the player who was the apex of the Bulls' triangle system. But Shaq is the perfect apex. A big center who can score and not just pass to other players. This makes Kobe's role in the triangle different from Jordan's. He'll be used more like Scottie Pippen, the brilliant defensive player who made it possible, as Jackson tells Kobe, for Michael to be Michael. This doesn't sit well with Kobe. His ambitions go far beyond making it possible for Shaq to be Shaq. But Jackson holds firm. The offense will run through Shaq. This keeps Shaq happy and frees up other players because Shaq is always getting double-teamed, which means one of his teammates is always open. On the Bulls, Jordan was free to break out in the fourth quarter and dominate the game. Jackson frees Kobe to do the same. But Kobe wants to dominate throughout the game, even though it robs other Lakers' opportunity to score and pisses them off. And the most pissed off is Shaq. Jackson's actually surprised by the depth of his loathing for Kobe. Tex Winter tells Jackson, "There's a lot of hatred in Shaq's heart. He's saying really hateful things. But Kobe just takes it and keeps going." One thing Shaq often says is, "We can't win a championship with Kobe." Shaq is the team's leader, and his opinions influence every guy on the team. If Jackson's going to heal the rift between his two top players, he needs Shaq's trust. So he establishes a relationship with him, realizing it's something Shaq actually craves. They have long talks. A bond develops. It's strong enough that Shaq doesn't mind it when Jackson criticizes him, though sometimes he's surprised by the coach's intensity. One day, Shaq's sleeping on the team's chartered plane. He wakes up to find Jackson's face 3 inches from his. "You played like shit in practice today," he snarls. Then he storms away. Shaq says it's almost creepy how much Jackson reminds him of his stepfather, who was so hard on him and who Shaq always tried to please. Shaq starts calling Jackson "my white father." One day, Shaq and Jackson meet for breakfast. Jackson begins by asking Shaq about his teammate.
"What don't you like about Kobe?"
"Well, I don't like that he's selfish, and I don't like that he shuts everyone else out of the game."
"Yeah, I see that, but I'm not going to get on Kobe all the time. You should let him go. Let him learn by himself. Just be patient."
Patient. A word Shaq hates. But it's Jackson saying it, so Shaq says,
"All right, boss, no problem. You say patient, then I'm patient."
Kobe wonders when Jackson will start having long talks with him. But Jackson never does. He knows Shaq is the key to the team. He also knows if he can't bridge their divide, either Shaq or Kobe will have to go, and it won't be Shaq. He is irreplaceable. In December, Kobe comes off the bench and scores 19 points in a win against Golden State. Afterwards, he says,
"I had a headache. I was so excited. My head was literally throbbing. I felt like I was on speed or something. I couldn't calm down."
But the guys on the team resent Kobe more and more because of the selfish way he plays. It doesn't help that he refuses to socialize with them. On the team plane, he watches movies on his DVD player or pretends to be asleep while guys across the aisle keep two card games going at once. The veteran player Brian Shaw tries to draw Kobe in.
"Hey, your money's good at this table."
But Kobe won't join in. And he can be rude and abrupt. He barely says hello to teammates. He brushes them off when they try to talk to him. He never accepts their invitations to dinner, even when Jackson tells him he should. One day, Jackson invites the team to a screening he's arranged of the movie Gladiator. Everyone shows up except Kobe. Finally, another of the team's veteran players has a talk with Kobe. He tells him,
"Man, you just can't talk to your teammates any damn way. You're going to be around these guys 6 or 8 months. You can't be like the standoffish dude. These are guys you're going to fight with, go to war with. It's us as a whole."
Kobe listens, but doesn't change. Why should he? He tells himself,
"I'm not like these other guys."
And he's right. He isn't. Most are from poor neighborhoods where they developed streetwise cool, a certain swagger. They're sharp and quick. They speak in a language they picked up on the street. And his teammates sense Kobe defines himself by the way he differs from them. He doesn't hang out in the hotel bar after games on the road. He has no tattoos. He doesn't wear the diamond ear stud other guys wear because Michael Jordan wears one. Kobe says,
"I don't mean to put anybody down, but it's not for me, that ear piercing stuff."
The guys get the message. When Kobe says he's different, what he's really saying is he's better than them. Kobe doesn't care if they're offended. He does care that he's only scoring 22 points a game, while Shaq is averaging 29.7 points and compiling the fourth best season in NBA history. As the season progresses, Kobe's visibly downhearted. He goes to the coach to talk about it. Jackson's in his office at the Lakers training facility when Kobe shows up.
"What's the problem?" "The game's too boring for me. The offense is so simple, it doesn't display my talent." "I get it, but we're trying to win games with the least amount of things going wrong, the fewest injuries, the least fatigue. It doesn't give me what I have to have for my game."
He wants, as he puts it,
"to showcase my skills."
But the triangle isn't meant to showcase any particular player. Jackson is calm. He's famous for being zen. But he's also human. When the Lakers play the Washington Wizards, Jackson watches Kobe dribble around and hang on to the ball. He shouts,
"Kobe, make a pass!"
Kobe ignores him. He shoots from an impossible place on the court and misses. Jackson takes him out of the game. Kobe sits fuming on the bench. The Lakers win, but after the game, Jackson turns to Kobe. In front of all the other players, he growls,
Now I know why guys don't like playing with you. You got to play together.
Kobe's pissed. He goes over Jackson's head to Lakers general manager Jerry West. He says he wants to be traded. West tells Jackson, who considers granting Kobe's request, but it only takes a few minutes to decide against it. Jackson knows his two stars are concerned about themselves. They're all about me. But he still believes the team can be great if he can get them to put aside their separate identities and think about the team. Jackson is a unique kind of coach. He calls himself a Zen Christian. Kobe says Jackson brings spirituality to a game he'd only thought of as shots and spins. He has the team meditate. Years later, Shaq would tell Benzinger how he and the other guys responded to Jackson's other New Age methods.
Being from the hood, I know what cannabis smells like. So he had something that was the cousin of cannabis, whatever the hell that means. Sage. So he'd come in and he said, okay, guys, close your eyes. So he'd be waving around. I'm going. He would say stuff like, see yourself at the parade. See yourself winning the championship. See yourself dominating the game. A lot of times it was cool. A couple of times you get tired from hanging out the night before and you hear guys going, but it was always helpful.
At Christmas, Jackson gives each player a different book, tailored to them. It's his way of saying, I know who you are and what matters to you. He gives Kobe Corelli's Mandolin, the story of an Italian soldier who falls in love and ceases to be an outsider. It's a novel well-suited to a young man raised in Italy who recently met the love of his life and resists being part of the team. Kobe doesn't say thank you. Instead, he says,
you know I'm not going to read it, man.
Now it's Jackson's turn to get the message. He tells a friend,
Kobe doesn't want anybody else's ideas to penetrate his mind.
Shaq's book, Siddhartha, is about the redemptive power of choosing love over hatred.
Why did Phil give me this Harvard book? He asks. He knows I don't have a big vocabulary.
But he reads it, reluctantly. Meditation, Siddhartha. Jackson's not done. He has the team do yoga and Tai Chi. At first, the players think he's crazy, but they feel it calming them, broadening their horizons. From December 1999 to January 2000, they pull off a winning streak of 16 games. And everybody is saying, damn, he does know what he's talking about. Even so, by mid-February, it isn't clear Jackson will get Shaq and Kobe to declare a truce in time for the playoffs. At the warm-up for the All-Star game, Shaq imitates Kobe's crossover dribbling, then hurls the ball into the empty stands to signify Kobe makes stupid passes. Clearly, the feud is still on. If Jackson's going to do something, he better do it quick. The playoffs are 9 weeks away.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
With the playoffs looming at the end of April 2000, Coach Phil Jackson has to fuse his two stars' games together. It's not easy. They're so different. Kobe loves to fake out the opposition. Shaq loves plowing right through them. Shaq's an incredible athlete, as good as Kobe. He can move and spin, and his game will forever alter the standard for big players. The pride he takes in his skill is the huge, touchy pride of a guy who refuses to be dismissed as an accident of nature. Kobe's game is different. It's a finesse game. He says he draws inspiration from the great white shark, stealthy and unstoppable. They do have one thing in common. On the court, their drive to win is the same. And the other guys on the team are not always fair to Kobe. No matter what Kobe does on the court, Shaq and the others complain he plays selfishly. Jackson actually shows them film of their games to prove Kobe's doing what he's supposed to do.
Kobe on the move. Lobs for O'Neal for the dunk. Kobe Bryant works into the lane and Shaq hammered it in with a right hand. Timeout Portland.
Jackson's also blunt with Shaq. He tells him that sometimes his attitude is part of the problem.
Your hard feelings about Kobe spread through this entire roster. You need to put that away. You and Kobe both need to do what's best for the team.
It helps. They're on a 19-game winning streak, then another streak of 11. Smiles all around. Winning is a kind of magic. It brings them together. But at the very end of the regular season, they lose twice to San Antonio, including the season's final game. The smiles fade. The players get testy with each other. They know they've failed before because in the end, they've fallen apart. But Jackson takes the long view. They've had a great season. They've gone 67-15. They've got home court advantage in the playoffs. They've learned to play the triangle offense. And they've put aside their anger. They've listened to Coach Jackson, checked their egos. They're playing as a team. And as a result, they're winning. In the postseason of the year 2000, they make it all the way to the NBA Finals to face the Indiana Pacers. It's the Lakers' first final in their new stadium in downtown Los Angeles. They dominate game one from the start. In the third quarter, the Pacers cut the lead to 2 points, but Shaq is having a big game. When the final buzzer sounds, the Lakers have won. Shaq scored 43 points and pulled down 19 rebounds. In game two, the teams start off looking evenly matched. But in the first quarter, Kobe sprains his ankle. He leaves the game and doesn't return. It later turns out that a Pacers player purposely tripped him. But the Lakers win anyway, 111-104. They move on to Indiana for the next three games. On their home court, the Pacers take the third game, 100-91. Kobe missed most of game two and all of game three. He comes back for game four, ready to triumph over the Pacers. But in the first half, he scores only 6 points. Meanwhile, Shaq dominates, piling up 36 points and 21 rebounds. At the final buzzer, the game is tied. But Shaq fouls out with 2 minutes and 23 seconds remaining in overtime. The Lakers lead by one. As Shaq heads for the bench, Kobe tells him, "Don't worry, I got it." Kobe drills consecutive jumpers. He scores 6 straight points to give the Lakers a 120-118 victory. But then, game five, an embarrassing loss for the Lakers, 120-87. The Lakers lead the series 3-2, but still, the team wonders, are they going to fold when it counts the most? On the 19th of June, 2000, the crowd at the Staples Center is pumped. If the Lakers win this game, they will win the NBA championship for the first time since the Magic Johnson years. With 13 seconds left to play, the score is 114-109. The Pacers inbound the ball. They score. Now, with 5.4 seconds to go, the score is a potentially perilous 114-111. The Lakers call timeout. Phil Jackson gathers his team into a huddle. Then the players take to the court with fire in their eyes. The game resumes. Seconds tick away. Kobe is fouled. There are 2.5 seconds left in this game. A few eye blinks, during which Kobe and Shaq's championship dreams will either be postponed and possibly dashed, or finally realized. In a three-point game, with Reggie Miller, one of the greatest three-point shooters leading the Pacers, the Lakers' fate is literally in Kobe's hands. Doug Collins and Bob Costas have the call.
They're one free throw away right now from being the champions.
Kobe steps up to the free throw line. He bounces the ball three times, exhales sharply, then, with the ball in both hands, he releases it. It goes up in a perfect arc and swoops into the basket. And then he does it again. The Lakers lead 116 to 111.
Remember yesterday we spoke to Kobe Bryant and I asked him, I said, Kobe, you're a dreamer. And he said, yes, and I'm going to dream that I'm going to be holding that trophy tomorrow night. And it looks like he's going to get his wish.
In 2.5 seconds, it appears he will.
2.5 seconds later, the buzzer sounds. The Lakers are the NBA champions. Kobe takes a running leap into Shaq's arms. He's still hugging him as the other players swarm them. Later in the players' lounge, Shaq sinks into a sofa and breaks down in tears, relieved and spent. He's cradling the trophy as he says,
"Finally, I got one. Finally, I got one."
Kobe is more gracious in victory than he's ever been before. He applauds when Shaq is named the finals MVP. Speaking of the win, he tells reporters,
"Give the credit to the big guy. He's been waiting for this moment his whole life."
The dominant big man in the game and the dominant young shooting guard have finally earned each other's trust on the court. And they've gotten the championship they both wanted so badly. But will they both stay hungry for a repeat next year? When the new season comes around, Kobe will say, he wants to be the first option. He wants to be the player designated to take the shot. He's convinced he's earned that right. But Jackson will say no. The first option is still Shaq. Kobe's graciousness evaporates. And the tension that threatened to sink this team is back. A feud that'll make a repeat championship all but impossible.
From Wondery, this is episode 3 of 6 of 1 Plus 1, Kobe and Shaq. To hear more seasons of 1 Plus 1, listen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus for more exclusives, binges, early access, and ad-free listening. Available in the Wondery app. This episode was hosted by Rico Galliano. Elizabeth Kay wrote this story. She's the author of Ain't No Tomorrow, Kobe, Shaq, and the Making of a Lakers Dynasty. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Sound design by Bay Area Sound. Executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. And a note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers. Hunt for muddy puddles and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.